Tonight we're back into our teaching again about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command of God that we be filled. So, praise God, we want to walk in the light of it. We're looking at things in the Scriptures that deal specifically with the areas of why we pray in tongues, the benefits, what it's for, because there's a lot of things it really does help you with. Is one of the things, just if we would really just to look at the overall view of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the benefit it is to the believer himself, would be the fact that of developing spiritually. Without any question in my mind, there's no way that you could reach the spiritual maturity that God requires of an individual without learning to operate in the areas of tongues and what it's for and understanding it and using it in your life, how it's supposed to be used, because it really does open the door to so much of the spirit realm. And so for your own development and growth. And we've been talking about some of these things and looking at the things that they do, why we would pray in this spirit. Is one of the things is you're communing with God specifically. You're talking with God. I think that would be just a huge benefit in itself, you know. Because, you know, not every time people are praying just regular prayers that people pray many times, people are not really communicating with God. If they're not following really the spiritual principles God laid down for prayer. Many times people don't. Many times people, you know, we have this idea that you just go spend time in prayer. People say, well, you just need to pray. Well, what do you, they act like prayer is just something you just throw out there, you know, that prayer, you know, if I, you know, it's like saying, you know, you got a problem, you need to call Ed. Well, what about? You know, what, you know, it's, we're talking to God. God, there's principles in His kingdom of how you operate in prayer. And one of the great blessings is there's things in prayer that we can operate outside of natural human abilities. We cannot, because understand, really, praying out of your understanding, you're praying a lot in the area more and relying more on what you know. Man, I want to be able to go beyond that because that really limits me, and especially developing as a Christian. You're limited if you can only operate in the area that you know. Praying in the Holy Ghost takes us outside of that, where I can operate outside my own spiritual development at the time, which will end up leading me to develop and grow and reach into things. So we want to operate in those things. Tonight, we're going to look specifically as one of the things that tells us in Scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and verse 4, we want to look at. Because what it says here, that we find out that praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues is a benefit to us. And it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But it says, he who prophesies edifies the church. And so, speaking in tongues, we're talking about self-edification. Now, Paul did go on and say, if a person spoke in tongues and you interpreted, then that would edify the body. That would be a way of doing it. But speaking in tongues itself is a self-edification, to edify oneself. And some translations use the terms about building up. So, but really, tongues is a divine means of spiritual edification. And this is important. Because tongues does not operate out of the mental side, your mental side, or out of your intellectual side. It doesn't operate out of the reasoning side. And so many people say, I want to develop spiritually. I really don't think you can develop very far spiritually outside of using tongues. Because just listening, there's many people that I've heard say along these same lines, people who have been around a lot longer than I have or have lived and gone on to be with Christ, who have talked about the fact of how, like Brother Hagin said, he said the majority of his major revelations that he received, that he's ever gotten, was while he was praying in other tongues. So, and what happened was, is he became, what it does, it edifies your spirit, it builds the inner man up. He was more conscious of spiritual things than he was physical things. God could reveal things to them. And tongues is an important part of that. So, Paul's writing here encouraging the Corinthian church, which he'd be encouraging us, to continue to speak in tongues in their personal prayer life and worship life, because it's important, because you can use tongues, we'll talk about that more later on, using tongues in your prayer life and in your worship life. Really, in my personal prayer life and worship life, I do more tongues than I do anything. I mean, I pray out of my understanding, I pray about things that I know, I pray things. But I spend much more time, even in worship, in the areas of worshiping God in other tongues. spending time doing that, worshiping God, singing in tongues, and glorifying God. We'll find out about that later on. We'll talk about those things because it's important that we do that. But when we are doing that, the most wonderful part about it is the benefit it is to us. Here you are praying in tongues. Just think about this. So praying in tongues, he just puts this out as a general thing. Is that when you're praying in tongues, you're edifying yourself. In other words, when I'm praying in tongues, I could be praying for someone else in tongues, but yet I'm also benefiting. I'm being edified by doing it. And so, in other words, edified. Now, it's spiritual edification, and the word edified just means to build up. Like as an idea, it would be like recharging a battery. Is what it would give you the idea of. So we're being built up or charged like a battery. In other words, your human spirit really is your container of power than you. The Holy Spirit lives in there. But understand this, the Holy Spirit doesn't operate through us any more than really we build ourselves in the power of God. He helps us and helps us build up, but our human spirit, you aren't going to get a person who's not doing things to build themselves up, and the Holy Spirit's just going to start working really great, powerful through them. It's by us, the Holy Spirit, and one of the things we want to talk about, because the Holy Spirit is a helper. He's not the doer, he's the helper. And so when you start to understand that and start to get a hold of that, you'll realize the importance of building yourself up, of praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, and allowing God to manifest himself through you through the Holy Spirit. So we do that, huge benefit. So praying in tongues will charge up or build up your human spirit. And see, that's the success of Christianity. And I found this out in my own personal walk. If you want to bring your flesh under control, you got to get your spirit to be able to dominate. Your spirit must take dominance. Tongues helps you do that. Praying in other tongues is something you do spiritually. It is for your spirit. It is not for really your mental. You're not involved in it mentally. You're there praying in tongues, and your minds might be going, what about this over here? My mind can go off into other things. I can be praying in tongues. Why? Because it's not attached to my mind. And see, that's where people get off in their thinking. They say, they're praying to, well, what good's this? Why? Because their mind's all over the place. Well, your mind might be all over the place. It's not it's not intellectual in what you're doing. So it's not to be thought of or reasoned out. And so what you want to do is continue to do that. Build yourself up in your spirit, making your spirit strong, charging your spirit up, giving yourself the ability to overcome when problems come along. So we want to pray in tongues. So it is not for the mind. The mind can't go there. but this is one thing you know. If you build yourself up in your spirit, it will have effect on your body and on your mind. If you'll do it. It'll have an effect on it. Because any time that you can stay more over on the spiritual side of letting your spirit, the inner man, dominate, you're going to find that the outer man will be more subdued and your brain will start thinking better. This is one of the problems that people have. People try to renew their mind without the use of the Spirit. And this is why many people can sit down and you can give them, they know the Bible. They'll tell you, I know what the Scripture says, but I can't get it to operate. I can't get things to work. I know what's wrong. They're using their mind just over in the areas. They're using their brain, but they are not hooking up in their spirit. The Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. And see, people don't. They don't get over on the spiritual side. They stay over on the intellectual side. They can quote you the Scriptures. They know what they say, but they can't get it to work because it does not work from the mental side. It works from the spiritual side. It's how you can yield over to the Spirit and learning to operate out of that realm. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the mind. I can be walking around and my mind can be going against totally what my heart wants to do. But if I will walk in line with my heart, I can bring it to pass what's in my heart. As long as I don't yield, my mind can think all kinds of stuff. But as long as I don't yield to it, begin to speak what my mind thinks, doing in that, walking in that direction, I can bring things to pass and my mind's going against me the whole time. See, most people, their mental side is their dominant side. And you can't operate in the things of God when the mental side's in domination. It won't work. Because your mental side will end up yielding to your flesh and you'll follow the flesh. That's what will happen. And that's why you want to get over on the spiritual side. When we're praying in other tongues, we're doing something spiritual. This is why people in so many denominations and groups have a hard time with it. Because most of their teaching and preaching, look, I'm not trying to run anybody down, but it's mostly on the fleshly side. They don't understand spiritual things. They only understand what they can reason with their mind and what people can understand. So those are the things you talk about. Faith is dealing with the unseen realm. When we talk about faith, we're talking about the unseen realm. You need to know, learn how to walk in the unseen realm. We learn the principles of God. If you learn these things and practice these things, you're operating, and actually this is how you operate in this unseen realm. You've got to be able to operate in the unseen realm. And you do it by following the principles that the Bible says. Well, intellectually, they don't make sense. Intellectually, they seem stupid. I mean, you sit down and say, well, this doesn't, why am I here making these noises out of my mouth and this stuff, and I don't even know what I'm saying. That's what the intellect will say. The intellect. But in the kingdom of God says, when you're doing this, you're talking to God. You're speaking divine mysteries. Now, you have to walk either in that principle or you're going to walk in the other one. Now, you might turn around and say that, well, yes, if it says I'm speaking that, I'm doing divine mysteries, yes, I'm doing that. But what are you practicing? Doesn't matter what you believe. Your intellect can believe that the Word of God's true, but it's what you're doing is going to determine what's going to happen. Are you going to follow? In other words, do you pray in other tongues? It's not enough to say, I know it. I know this works. I have something better. It's like me, you know. I could be, you know, have a Ferrari sitting outside and talk about the Ferrari, and I never drive it. Well, who cares? If I never drive the thing or I never get behind the wheel of it or anything, it's something I have, but I've never experienced it, so it makes no difference. I don't care if I can drive 200 miles an hour in it. I'll never go to 200 miles an hour in it till I get the key in the ignition, start it, and drive it. And this is many Christians. Christians say, well, yes, I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. I speak with other tongues. Oh, yes, I can glorify God, magnify God. Do you do it? No, we don't do that. But it's of zero benefit. It's of no benefit. It isn't enough to know the information about it. It's about doing it. And that's where really it comes down, is starting off as learning to do it, because you have the mental side will always want to do something it can understand. That's the natural side of man. That's why it's like, it's one of the, I think education is good as long as you keep God in it. You get God outside of education and people will come complete idiots, because they will come operate completely on the mental side. That's where they'll go. So you always want to keep any education, learning and stuff over in the area with God. You got to keep God in it, because if you don't, you'll end up over there just operating in the mental. And so the spiritual side becomes a thing that people say, we don't understand why this stuff kind of happens, and we know there's something there, but we don't understand what it is, and so we're going to try to do some physical research to figure out what's going on over there. Well, you can't use physical research to find spiritual things. It won't happen. Physical research won't tell, because you'll always come up with wrong answers. Like you have these shows on TV, they have people, you know, go ghost hunters and all this stuff. They use physical research to try to tell you, and what they're here, so they come up with a physical idea. This guy died here at this place, so his spirit's hanging around here. When really, they're dealing with demons. See, you can't run into the truth. You can't run into the truth stepping over in the spirit realm. You'll never run into the truth trying to take the physical to prove the spiritual. I just want to let you to know this. It's the spiritual that proves the physical. A God who is a spirit created the physical realm. If you want to understand the truth about the physical realm, you need to understand spiritual things. Or you won't know why. You'll just know and say, well, these things happen like this, and we believe, and we'll come up with a thing called a theory. The Bible doesn't have any theories, so I don't have to theorize a thing. All I got to do is believe it. It's awesome, isn't it? All I have to do is, I don't have to theorize. And theories come from there's suppositions from, as Brother Hagin used to say, there's suppositions based on the ignorance of the person on the subject. And really a theory is. A theory is made because a guy don't know the truth about it. So he theorized what might be true. So it is based upon ignorance. In other words, there's things I don't know about this, but I'm going to try to come up, I'm going to take a shot and tell everybody I know what it is. Really, that's what it is. But praise God, we don't have to do that. We believe the Word of God. So if God, the Word tells us to pray in tongues, it edifies us. We need to begin to operate in that area. So you can understand just on this principle why the Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Why was Paul a man so full of the revelation of God? I will guarantee you, Paul did more praying in tongues than Peter and probably the whole bunch of them did. Paul, if you sit down and you look at revelation that's given in the church, Paul had more revelation than all the rest of the writers combined. He had more revelation. But he went to a church that was absolutely insane in talking in tongues. They did it all the time. And he said, I do this more than you guys, all you guys do. So Paul was praying in tongues a whole lot. But what was his purpose in doing it? His purpose, he said, I don't do it to teach people. He said, I don't do it. What he prays in tongues, builds himself up. God can reveal things to him. And you're going to find this out. Praying in tongues will put you over an area where revelation will be able to come to you because you'll be more sensitive in your spirit than you are in your mind. Revelation comes through your spirit. The Holy Ghost dwells in your spirit. Your Holy Ghost is not in communion with your mind whatsoever. He never communicates with your mind. He doesn't do that. If God has to get a hold of people's attention from the outside, it is because they lack spirituality. See, some people say, oh, I want an angelic visitation. Well, then a person, what they want is, I want something that stimulates my flesh and my seeing and my hearing and whatever to prove something to me of God. That's what they're asking for. I've had revelations. I've had things happen. I've seen angels. I have never asked any for any of it. I've had things that have come along, but you need to understand, it's not something I'm going to search for because revelation, now God can bring revelation through many different ways, but almost all of your revelation you're going to get is going to come from out through your own spirit, even when somebody's teaching and preaching to you. If you're listening intellectually, and many people do, I've watched this over the years. I have had people sitting teaching people, and I have people come to me who have sat under my teaching for years and will walk up and ask me a question, and I'll think, God, they haven't ever heard a thing I said. Or they would have never asked such a question. So I've answered that question 450 times. But they've never heard the answer. Why? They live in the intellectual realm. That isn't how you comprehend things. That's why you got to become spiritual. Tongues is a wonderful tool to get you over on the spiritual side for the spiritual man to dominate. And it's great because you don't have to be a rocket scientist to make it work. To me, this is the most wonderful thing about it. Why people go, no, I want to go over in the reasoning well. I want to understand. I want to figure. I don't really care to. I want to get over there where I'm operating in the principles that the Word established. Then I know this. I will get revelation. Revelation will come to me. Revelation is not something worked at. It's something the Holy Ghost gives. I found this out lots of times. Because of operating more on the intellectual side, I found that God was trying to show me or teach me certain things for very long periods of time. I was not grabbing it. Is because I wasn't really operating over in the Spirit in that area of what I should have been doing. I could have had revelation on things a long time, but I didn't. I wasn't operating in the areas I should. See, many times people are asking God for things, and what they're doing is they're looking at everything in the natural for the answer. They're trying to hear, you know, all things through the answer. You know, they're listening to 47 different preachers trying to get the answer. God's trying to talk to their heart. He wants to talk to your heart. And so allow him to do that. This is one of the ways we allow. We become spiritually sensitive. You could sit in a meeting and have a minister preaching, and he's not even talking on the subject, not even speaking on the subject of the answer that you've asked God for. But in that sermon, God will give you a revelation to your answer. I have had that happen many times. God answers to things that wasn't even what they were preaching about. But just something a person said. I've been sitting in a movie theater watching a movie, and all of a sudden a certain thing was said in that movie, and the Holy Ghost started talking to me about a certain thing, and I started getting a revelation about a thing I had been asking God about, all because of one thing that was spoken. That movie had nothing to do with what I was. I've had that happen more than one time. God speaks to me at the weirdest place. You know, I have had more revelations like that about doing something. That I was out outside working in the yard doing something, and all of a sudden I do something or just think a certain thought, and all of a sudden, bang, a revelation starts to come to me, and I was like, dear Lord, I'm inside praying for 2 hours and I didn't get none of it. And I go outside, and, you know, you just catch a certain thing and it sparks something, and all of a sudden in revelation, God starts revealing stuff to you. So that God can reveal yourself anytime, but there's one thing you do. I've learned over the years to develop my spirit so I can hear God. If you have to have perfect conditions to hear, you're in real trouble. Because, you know, like some people, you know, everything has to be total silent, everything. You know, it's nice. It's good times to get away, get quiet, you know. But most of life's not like that. Did you ever notice that? Most of life is real noisy. Most of life is all kind of things going on. But you can stay in spiritual contact. You can stay in contact. I believe that's what the Bible's talking about when it says praying always. Prayer, what God is interested in, is not your talking. It's your being in contact with your spirit, because that's where true prayer takes place. True prayer don't take place just out of your mouth. Because out of your mouth, you could say anything, and your spirit ain't thinking that at all. You could be talking mostly from the mentality. And so it's operating out of your spirit. Dr. Cho, who, huge church in Korea, he said, he talked about praying always, and he said, I don't care if I'm with world leaders or what I'm doing. He said, my heart's always turned toward God. In other words, no matter what I'm doing, he said, I can be sitting in a meeting with people and stuff, but my heart is always turned toward God. See, he's always very sensitive over toward the things of God to hear what God has to say. You can live a life like that. And God wants us to be more over into that area where we're staying more sensitive over on the side about our spirits, becoming conscious spiritually. This is where tongues becomes really great. It's the fact when I pray in tongues, it's charging up the inner man. In other words, it's helping the inner man to dominate. It's getting him charged up. It's making him more powerful. More power. You're pumping him up, man. You know? And it's just like a battery. You know, the better charge, the better off you are. You go out in a cold day, and this is what happens. People aren't charged up, and when they run into a problem, it's like being in a cold day. You know, you run into a problem, you aren't charged up, and all of a sudden you need God to do something, and bang, all you get is click, 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 click. That's what happens to people. They just get the clicking sound because they haven't charged. When they need help, Holy Spirit can't do much through a person who hasn't been charging up their spirit. And so we need it. It's a cooperation of the two. Too many people, well, I just go around and do what I want, and when I need help, I'm just going to believe the Holy Ghost. Well, lots of luck. Have a big time. It ain't going to work. And so, praise God, we want to hook up over there. So when Paul said, I thank my God I speak tongues more than you all, you can really understand why. Jude spoke of this very same subject when Jude said about this in Jude, in the 20th verse. It's only one chapter in Jude. In the 20th verse, Jude spoke about this. In fact, if you read the whole chapter, the chapter is talking about all the false prophet, all the things going on, the evil people sneaking into the church, all this stuff going on, doctrines that are wrong, all this stuff happening. And Jude says this in the 20th verse. He makes this statement. He said, but you, beloved, in other words, all this stuff is going on out there, but he says to these believers, you, beloved, he said, building yourself up, or we could say here, charging yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. In other words, he said, look, all this stuff's going on out there, but you guys, you'll charge yourself of praying in the Holy Ghost. You're not going to have this problem. You're not going to end up deceived. See, many people get deceived. You operate in the intellectual realm, and you can be deceived by devil. The devil will come along and preach doctrines to you and get people to say stuff, and you'll fall for it because you can't hear your inner man. You need to hear your inner man. If you can't hear your inner man, you can't hear your conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your own spirit. So if you can't hear your own conscience, you can end up sinning and it not bother you. You don't want to go there. See, you want to stay spiritually sensitive. Praying in tongues keeps you spiritually sensitive. You might hear a doctrine preached. You may not know. You may not have information per se intellectually to know whether it's right or wrong. But inside of you, your spirit's saying, you know, you just know there's something wrong about this. Don't swallow what's said. Don't take this. See, your spirit is a guard to you. And see, people bypass it. They just bypass. They get over in the mental and intellectual realm and they bypass this, you know, of listening to their inner man. They bypass it. And so this is why you want to become spiritually strong, because when your spirit is in tune, your spirit will be a huge help to you and guarding you against all kind of junk. And that's why he said, you guys, though you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're building yourself up, you're not going to get caught in the trap of all this junk going on. And see, this is why even among the Spirit-filled churches, why you know they don't deal with this stuff, don't talk about these things, and people end up never really developing spiritually. They don't develop spiritually. They talk about things, calling it spiritual, but most of it's intellectual. And if you want to stay out of trouble, you need spiritual strength to overcome sin. Sin was not overcome in your life by any physical thing. It wasn't Jesus' physical death that saved you. It was His spiritual death that saved you. Jesus died spiritually. If He didn't die spiritually, then you're going to die in your sins because He covered the spiritual problem with man, not the physical problem. And so Jesus died on the cross. He took our sin, our spiritual sin, on His spirit and became spiritually dead for us. And it says, if you and I are going to overcome, if you want to overcome sin, you're going to do it spiritually. Because physically you can't. Religion's been trying it. The Jews had all the laws. They made 20,000 more of them and still couldn't overcome sin. Because you can't overcome sin that way. Sin entered through the spiritual death of man. That's how it got into the earth. And Jesus fixed it through spiritual death. He died and then was raised, made alive again. And when we believe on Him, we become spiritually alive. It's through the spiritual life in you and I that we overcome. We don't overcome because of physical. We overcome. And this is why people, healing, divine healing is spiritual. There's nothing physical about it. But yet we can cause it to manifest in the physical realm and be physically healed. But it all comes from the spirit. No doctor spiritually heals anybody. Never has, never will. He can if he gets over and follows the principles of the Word of God, but he can't. Physical medicine has never given you divine healing. You know, see, too much is taught by the natural. People never develop into things. And this is why getting over in this area, building our inner man up, becoming strong on the inside. I'll tell you what, you'll find yourself that building yourself up in your inner man, there's a lot of things that you could fight off so easily by building the inner man up that when something comes on you, you're ready for it. You know, it's just like the battery in the car. That battery's working right. It's charged up. It gets cold outside. It turns that engine right over. It pumps her right over. It's the same way. What happens? Adversity comes to you, and you know what? You just go turn the key on, and you just right over top of adversity. This is why most people operate this way. They do nothing about their spiritual condition till they have a problem. Then they start trying to work on the spiritual condition. Well, you're going to have to go get a battery. Because you're not going to sit down. You're not going to sit down and just, well, I'm going to pray now in tongues for a half an hour and then I'm just going to overcome this. Oh, no, you're not. And this is what happens. This is a process. You start to do this. You start to pray in tongues. Set yourself aside times to pray in tongues for the purpose. You're edifying yourself. You want to be a blessing to other people? Edify yourself. Edify yourself. You build yourself up, you go shock somebody. Is it like a battery? You can't shock nobody if you ain't got nothing. You know, it's just the same thing. It's really, you build yourself up. That's why, you know, as people find out, they'll say, well, you know, somebody lays hands on when I felt that. And you know, I lay hands on somebody, they don't ever feel nothing. Well, if you ain't got any charge in you, there ain't nothing for anybody to feel. You see, you need to. We need to understand this. It's about building yourself up on the inside, and so it'll help us overcome. But it also makes us a blessing to other people. So we build ourselves up praying in the Holy Ghost. So this is something you and I are to do to keep our own spirit charged. Your own human spirit needs to get charged up. Now you can't do this for somebody else. Other people have to charge their own spirit up. You can't, you know, it's sort of, you know, in a sense, sometimes you can give a person a jump start, you know, but you can't, if they don't keep it charged, it ain't gonna do nothing. They have to spend time doing it. So a lot of people, you know, it's one of the things, you know, go around the meeting sometimes and people lay hands on people and stuff for different things, but people go off. If you have been, you know, in an area really, you have sort of a discharged life. Where you're not really charged up, you put out more than you've taken in. Somebody might come along and lay hands on you and sort of jumpstart you, but if you don't start changing what you do and begin to practice what the Word says, you're just going to end up as dead as you were before. Stuff ain't going to happen. No matter what God says over you or spoke over your life that He wants you to become, you're going to have to follow the principles of the Word to become it. It ain't just happening because you have a call or whatever, or just because you're a Christian. And understand that we have to do it. So you can't do it for somebody else. So praying in the Spirit. Also this, it says it builds up your faith. It doesn't give you faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is what faith comes to you this way, but the faith that you have, and understand this about faith. Faith is something, it comes by what we hear. But this is about faith. Your inner man, if you want to have, like, you got to follow some principles for, so you can be charged up. It's our faith, in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes. Now look, faith comes to you. Because faith comes to you, that don't mean you received it. A person could get up and preach Jesus Christ crucified, raised from the dead. And there's people listening in the audience, and he preaches it. Faith comes to everybody who's listening to it, to every unbeliever. But not every unbeliever responds to it. Just because faith comes don't mean you have any. You might have had faith come, but have you received it? Have you received it as yours? Faith, believed, spoken, and act upon. It's those three things. Believed. You believe it's true. You receive it as true. You say it's true, and then you act on it like it's true. You know, what do we do? A person believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. They act on it. You don't act on it. If you don't act on the fact of being saved, it never come to pass. You have to have actions to it. So understand this. To building up your most holy faith, this is building up what you believe, you've been saying, and you've been doing. Now, you may be doing it on a low level, but you've been acting on it as best you can. But you get over praying in the Holy Ghost, and you'll get built up in that thing. You're not going to get built up on what you have not been, even if you believed it, but you ain't been speaking it and acting on it. You ain't going to be building up on that, because you ain't been believing. You know, like the Word says for believing. So you need to understand that. It's the Word of God. It's what you have in you that you're practicing in your life. You start praying in the Holy Ghost, and what you believe and you walk it out to, you find like there's things that I'm just so convinced of. The more I've spent time praying in other tongues, the more convinced I am of what I believe and what I do. I just get more convinced of it. It's like it comes to the point, I'm sorry, you can't talk me out of it. I mean, you can say whatever you want. It makes no difference. It doesn't matter to me. Well, how does that happen? That's because what I believed, what I've said it, I've walked in it, and then I pray in tongues, and I just get built up in it all the more. So it isn't just a matter of because I heard the Word, and I heard something, yeah, and I like that. Well, you can pray in other tongues, and you're still just liking it, and still ain't doing it. So it's what you believe. So begin to take the Word of God, begin what you're acting on and what you're believing. Start praying in other tongues, and what you do have and what you do believe and walking in will become stronger in you. See, this is why a lot of people come along. You get people say, well, I don't understand. I've got saved, but I just don't feel like I'm saved, and I don't know if I'm saved. People do that because they never act in any spiritual thing, so they never develop spiritually. So spiritually, they're very weak. So what they're doing is they're responding to their flesh. And what, you know, because you don't know that you're saved because your mind said that you are. Other people say, well, I know I'm saved because, you know, I believed what the Word said. That isn't why I know what I believe. I got saved because I believe what the Word said, but I know I'm saved because the Bible says. I know that I passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. The Bible tells us things that we know. Go read John. John talks about what we know, not, well, I believe because I believe, you know, what the Word said. John said, once you get saved, there's things you know. And if you don't know these things, you ain't saved. Hallelujah. I don't sit down and say, I ain't saved because I can sit down and say, well, because I just believe what the Word says. I'm saved because I did what the Word said. Now I've passed from death unto life. I have already done that. I know that. I know that the Holy Ghost is a witness inside of me. Hallelujah. That I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Well, see, praying in the Holy Ghost will take you there where that becomes knowledge that is strong in you. Why? Because you're over on the spirit side, you're not over on the carnal side, and in the natural side. That'll become very strong on you. Because you know what happens? The devil will try to talk you out. If he can't talk you out of salvation, he'll talk you out of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If he can't talk you out, he'll try to talk you out of healing. He'll talk you out of trying to not follow the will of God. He's always trying to get you to stop at a point. And he does that. You stay charged up and he won't stop you. He can't stop you. And that's what we want to do. We want to become the place where we're unstoppable. And praying in the Holy Ghost will build you up that you'll know, be confident about who and what you are, what you believe and what you walked in and that stuff. You'll know that it's true. So you want to constantly build yourself in that area. So we want to be built up and build ourselves up so we can edify other people. This is why Jesus told his disciples, you go down to Jerusalem and don't you dare leave that place till you get filled with power from on high. Because who wants you to go out there and crash? I mean, you just think of 4 out of 5 ministers leave the ministry, it's less than 5 years. They crash. Probably, I bet only 1 out of 10 ever go into the ministry. Why? Because the devil keeps them out of the ministry just from that those purpose. Keep them over in the carnal side. Keep them over in the mental side. Keep them out of the ministry. Kenneth Copeland said one time, he asked the Lord, Lord, you know, why do you all you me do this, do that? Why don't you get somebody else to do it? He said, I got a lot of men. He said, I call the ministry. He said, they're carpenters, they're truck drivers, they're all these different things. They're out there doing all this stuff. He said, ain't none of them. They don't listen. Bible says, many are called, few are chosen. That goes for salvation too. You realize that? Many are called, few are chosen. A lot of people like to get into the kingdom, but they don't want the kingdom stuff. They all want to get to heaven. Everybody wants to get there, but they don't want to do it God's way. God has a way. And so this is why you want to develop spiritually. If you are not developed spiritually, you can't know what the will of God is. You can't know what it is. God hasn't made some hard thing. He went and took his tongue's business and made it into a thing that you and I can have a way of developing and a way of really coming to a spiritual development where you can come in contact with God. You know, it doesn't matter your education level. It doesn't matter your position in life or whatever it is. You can come in, you can come over where you're sensitive to your spirit. The all-knowing one, Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost is living inside of you. Anything, any knowledge that you might need, anything that you need to understand, you got the teacher. I mean, it's just, you know, I believe in education and I have some education. But the whole point of it is I have learned more from God than I have ever learned through education. The revelation that God's brought to me is through the teacher, the Holy Ghost. People say, oh man, I want to learn this and I want to learn that. You got the Holy Ghost. Anything you want to learn, you can learn. I know people who sat down and didn't know how to read and asked the Holy Ghost to teach them to read. And they read today because they were taught by the Holy Ghost. I think the Holy Ghost could teach you better than any natural human teacher. But see, people don't believe that. Well, they get over, well, you know, hey, I'm called the minister, I did this, man, I got to get out here, I got to find some man to teach you. You don't go out and get somebody unless God tells you to, or whatever God tells you to do. But learn to listen to the Holy Spirit in you. This is why you want to become spiritually conscious. And praying in tongues helps us immensely in this area. The Apostle Paul gave us a Holy Ghost-inspired prayer in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. So believers could receive the mighty strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's also, I mean, here's a prayer that is given, a spiritual prayer by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. This is an important prayer to pray for yourself, because praying in other tongues is not the only way that you develop spiritually, but I tell you, it's a huge, huge part of it. But there's also other things of Scripture. If we're not going to spend time feeding on the Word or doing other things that God tells us to do, that's also going to affect us in the areas of our life. So we want to do those things. We want to do those also. But Paul has a prayer here in Ephesians, and he prayed for the church. Verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man." It's the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost in your what? Inner man. Or your spirit. The Holy Ghost is where? In your inner man. He's in your spirit. That's where he communes. He dwells in you. The reason your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost is because your spirit is in your body. Your spirit, in a sense, is almost like the holies of holies inside a physical house. It's that place. It's like the curtain in the Old Testament. When you die, see, your physical body don't go to heaven. It can't go in the state it's in because it's a physical body dead to sin. The nature of sin has killed it. That's why it dies. You know, they always say, you know, from the time that a child's born, they're starting to die. You know, it's death starts when the life begins. Well, so your inner man is where God lives. That's where God dwells at. That's what makes you the temple of God. It's in your spirit. See, your spirit, when it had the nature of sin, God couldn't move into it. You could not become a temple of God till you got born again. And then the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. So your spirit has the Holy Spirit in it. You know, and then people are trying to get a hold of God and all kind of stuff and things right in your spirit. God is living. The real you, the part of you that's like God, your spirit, the eternal part of you, that when you die, goes off to heaven. That part, the Holy Ghost, is living in, communing with you, to help what? Your spirit. So what you want to do and I want to do is operate out of our spirit. That's the power. And he says here, strengthen with might. Hallelujah. Might through his spirit, what? In your inner man. Strength. So you can pray this for yourself. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. You can pray this for you. Pray to be strengthened with might by the Holy Ghost in your inner man. Also take the time to pray in other tongues. Spend time doing that. So this church at Ephesus was a spirit-filled church. We read about them in the book of Acts where they got started off. They're spirit-filled. Understand, you know, a church that does not believe in these things is always going to be limited. If you become to get spiritually keen, the Holy Ghost will want to start to lead you into the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues. He will. There's nobody out here in Christianity that the Holy Spirit will not lead a person into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He always wants to. People just refuse it. Churches refuse it by their doctrines and their things that they do. They refuse it. The Holy Ghost will always try to lead an individual to be filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. He always wants to. Why? Because he wants a person to develop spiritually and become spiritually strong. He wants to be able to reveal things to people. And you're limited without it. So he's going to do that. So we see, you know, you could sit, a person could take these scriptures here and pray it for themselves all they wanted to, but if they turn around and don't yield over to the Holy Ghost to be filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going to be awfully limited. So, and that's what I say, is when you read the letters to the churches, they are written to spirit-filled people. They were not written to non-spirit-filled people. They were written to spirit-filled people. And this is why so many people don't understand what the Bible says, because they think that this stuff is just, you cannot be baptized in the Holy Ghost and it all pertains to you. No, it isn't. There's much of it you'll never enter into till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't enter into it. And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not knocking anybody for it. It's just the way it is, you know. I mean, you can say what you want. I mean, till you enter in to it. It's like anything in life is like that. You know, there's things that you ain't going nowhere in till you enter into certain things. People need to understand. If you ain't going to learn general math, you ain't going on to algebra. You know, it just ain't happening. You're not going to do it. But people in the church has been so misguided, they just put God out there that they jumble it all together and just make it, it doesn't matter what you are, you can just enter into it all. You don't have to know this or not. There's no place in God's nature that anything's like that. There's things that, if you're going to arrive to where you want to go, there's things you're going to have to know to get there. And so, understand, this is written to people who are filled with the Holy Ghost. So praying in the Spirit inspires prayer for yourself. So you receive might through the Holy Ghost into your inner man. In 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, the little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Those scripture, that scripture is for spirit-filled people. The Holy Spirit is not in a person who is not filled with the Holy Ghost like he is. He is a witness to the person that they're saved. He's that, but he is not to that person that a person is who is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's not in on the same level. If I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I'm different than the guy who is not. This is spoken to Holy Ghost people. Holy Ghost people, it says, greater is He that's in you. Without being filled with the Holy Ghost cannot operate fully through you. So there's things you could not overcome. You know, I know like some people, why, you know, this, oh, you're divided, we're supposed to be bringing the unity. The Bible talks about the unity of spirit, and the unity of spirit is this, is the unity in line with the Word. If somebody wants any other kind of unity, then they're the devil. I'm sorry. It's unity. I will not compromise truth to commune with somebody who don't want it. We got a messed up society today. I mean, the only group that does this kind of stuff that opens the door to everything is the church. I mean, my, you go down to your local college and you want to teach math in a different way than they want to teach. They don't say, look, just bring it on in and do it. Whatever you'd like to do. But the church is the only group that'll just accept any old thing. Any old standard, any old thing. And that's why we've had so much messed up. Accepting all kinds of stuff. Don't accept it. Get a hold of the truth. You're filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. People might tell you you're crazy or whatever. Tell them thank you. Pray, just let me alone. You know, I'm just going to be an idiot all by myself or whatever. It doesn't matter. Because you're in line with the will and purpose of God. You are a candidate to really fulfill the plans and purposes of God. You can become a person who God can do His complete will through. If somebody else wants something else, I'm sorry, I'm not really interested. I want God to be able to do His complete will through me. That's what I want. And that's what we're working at. Now, I haven't arrived there yet. But at least I'm on the right track to get there. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to let somebody talk me out of it. Glory to God. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Hallelujah. You know, stay on what you believe because that's the only way you're going to be a blessing to anybody else. If you compromise, and I will tell you who will be the biggest loser. Not the person that talked you into the compromise. You will end up losing, probably be worse off than they are. Once the Bible says this, you've known the truth, you don't walk in it, you're in trouble. You stay with the truth, folks. You stay with the truth. You hang on to your truth. I'm not going to fight over somebody with something. But if somebody wants me to quit talking in tongues so they can fellowship with me, I just shake their hand and smile and say, you have a big time, go someplace else. Because you ain't going to like it here. I'm a using tongues. I'm a sorry. You know? Oh, I'll come to your church if you don't ever talk in tongues and interpret. Well, you just go ahead down the Lutheran church and you can go to hell with them. If you don't want God, you don't want the stuff, go someplace else. But we're not going to stop. See, we got to come to the place. We're going to do what's true. This is what I believe. I believe in divine healing, but I think that stuff's crazy. Well, I'm going to pray. You know, I'm going to believe I receive healing. I'm going to walk in line. I'm going to make my confessions, and I'm going to do my stuff. And if you don't like it, too bad. I'm going to say it, believe it, and walk in it. Say, well, you're crazy believing that stuff. Well, that let me alone. I might be crazy. But if you're going to have, if that there keeps you from hanging around with me, I'll shake your hand again. Whatever. Go do whatever you want. I'm not going to throw rocks at you. Go do what you want. But I can't quit what I know is true. So walk in the light of the truth of the Word of God. We also... Let's see where I'm at on this. Praise God. We want to look also here with another reason that we want to pray in the Holy Spirit is being able to pray the perfect will of God. We spoke last week somewhat on it, but I wanted to be able to go into this more detail on this. So, praying in other tongues, we can pray the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with the will of God. That's where He'll always lead you. I remember Kenneth Hagin made the statement when he first, when I first started listening to his teaching. And I think it was even before I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I heard him in his testimony talking about when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He's made this statement. He said, if I would have listened to my inner man, if I would listen to him, he said, the Holy Spirit would have led me right into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, I wouldn't have had to go for years not being filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit was trying to lead me into it. The Holy Spirit was trying to lead him into it. But there's things, look, you and I don't have to listen to our spirit. But the Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with the will of God. understand, too, with yourself, I know sometimes of individuals where people have come along and say, well, I believe God's leading me to do this or that or the other thing, and I've sat down and said, well, now hold it. The Bible speaks specifically opposite of what you're talking about. The Bible, this is what the Bible says about that subject. And I had people say, well, I know God's speaking to me. Well, hold it. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you in a different direction than God has said. He's not going to do that. He's not going to lead you in different direction than what God's spoken and said. And so always know that. So that's why you want to listen to the Holy Spirit. You want to be keen in your spirit about the Holy Spirit, because people get led. I have sat in meetings and watched major TV ministers sit right in the meetings, heard them voice things saying God said, and I knew that God did not say it to them because it was outside the Word. And I knew that God spoke, said certain things, and I knew that they were not right. I knew it was not God. And I could go to Scripture, and I could prove it through Scripture. And they're saying, well, God said. Well, become, get the Word of God in you, because your own spirit, through the Holy Spirit working in you, what you know, when you get built up on your most holy faith, what happens was people come along talking something different. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you in line. And your spirit is charged up. Your spirit is built up. It's going to remind you of what is said. There's times I have literally had this happen. I had listened to teaching on certain areas that I had studied over the years and learned to know it. There's times that it literally happened to me. Something was said or something was done and I wasn't sure of it. And all of a sudden, I heard a minister that I know, sometimes I've had it happen where I heard Kenneth Hagin's voice, and it was just like an excerpt off of his tape. It was just exact words that I could go back and looked on his tape, but he made mention. And the exact words, I heard them. In my spirit, I heard these words say, and this certain thing, and I went over and looked up the scriptures, and I thought, that's exactly right. People were heading in another direction. But see, the Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with the Word. That's what Kenneth Hagin always said this. He said, if I had any vision, I had any kind of spiritual experience, he said, whenever I saw Jesus and Jesus talked to me about something or gave me a revelation, I always ask him, you have to give me scripture for that. He said, I will not believe any vision, I will not believe any dream or anything unless you can show it to me in the scriptures. See, people accept all kinds of things. People are accepting all kinds of stuff. That's why he said, Jesus, don't get mad at you. He said, Jesus used to, he said, you would smile at him in his vision, because he'd say, Lord, you're going to have to give me scripture for that. I don't know where that's at in the Word. And he said, the Bible says we're two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. And one time the Lord smiled at him and said, look, I'm going to give you four. I'll show you in the Word. You see, God's not working against you. God wants to prove to you the things, really, the Word is a safeguard to us of the will and purpose of God. We sit down and say, well, I don't know where that's at in the Scripture. That don't mean it ain't there. There's things I've read in the Scriptures, and I've read the Bible through numbers of times. And yet I will turn around, and all of a sudden God will remind me, and say, I'll go through the Scripture, and all of a sudden I'll see something. And I think, God, I never saw, I read over that thing how many times? I'd never seen it. I've never seen it. It's right there. You know? So, you go back over things. So, learn about it. The Holy Spirit always leads you in line with the will of God. That's why when anybody's talking any other stuff, saying any other things, you know it's not the Holy Ghost. You know. Always, it'll be in line with the Word. People will make excuses and things. Don't fall for the excuse. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. But we want to walk in line with the will of God. So, God will always lead you in line with His will and purpose, especially when it comes to prayer. Prayer is a huge thing where you and I need help, the help of the Holy Spirit. He's called a helper. You know, the Bible doesn't it tell us He's a helper? That's what He is. He's a helper. He's the one, He guides us into truth. A prayer life without the Holy Spirit ain't much of a prayer life. I've used it, talked about before, you know, the prayer meetings when I came back from Raymond. The pastor of the church I was working with at that time asked me to take over a prayer meeting. And really, the Lord spoke to me about their prayer meeting. You know, they had been meeting for years every Friday night in what they called an intercessory prayer meeting. God didn't call it a prayer meeting. They got together and did their thing. But God didn't call it a prayer meeting. See, you can put your label on anything you want. Because one thing, see, God wasn't allowed in their prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit was not being used at all. Men were doing their own thing. carrying out their own thing. See, we can go ahead and do things that we want to do. You want to learn to be led by the Spirit? Invite the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. You want the Holy Spirit working. We have this wonderful thing that we can pray in tongues, pray for things, ask the Holy Spirit. Many times I'm praying along and I'll just pray, Lord, I pray what I know and understand, and I'll say, Lord, there's a lot I don't know about this, and I know. So you need to learn. If you don't become spiritually sensitive, you don't know when you're hooking up or not. Many times I go along praying, and I know inside of me, I'm not hooking up on this thing. From what I prayed about, I haven't hooked. And I'll just say, Lord, right now, Holy Ghost, I'm just going to yield over to you. And I'm going to let you pray through me to pray this thing out, because I know I am not hooked up here where I need to be. And then I'll just start praying in other tongues. And see, you need to learn to do that. You need to, this is why becoming spiritually sensitive. You want to become spiritually sensitive because you need to know when you need the Holy Ghost hooked up into things. You need to know that. Praying in tongues allows us to pray because we don't know everything about it. Many times we know the natural problems, or we see the incident that took place. We don't always know the causes and all these kinds of things of why things happen. And so you go over in this area praying out the will of God in these areas. In that prayer meeting, you know, when the Lord said to me, He said, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, and this is what He said to me, you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, I'll show you to pray one thing and it'll put out 10 of the devil's fires. And that's when He had given me the revelation. He spoke to me in that meeting. He said, the church is mostly led by the devil in their prayer life. People see problems and then they go and pray and they're running around. The devil starts a fire and they run around to put them out. In other words, the church is not proactive. The church is not dealing with things before they come. They are not operating. The Holy Spirit can show you things to come. He can deal with things in the future. This is why you want the Holy Spirit. You don't want to just pray after the problems happened already. You want to pray after the rock fell out of the sky and hit you on the head. You want to move out of the way and let it hit the ground and not hit you on the head. And there's with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can help you to be at the right place at the right time instead of the wrong place at the wrong time. And so you want to hook up in that area. In other words, the devil has 10 fires going out here, and the Holy Ghost said, I can show you what to pray. And so what He said to me in a meeting, you listen to me, I'll show you what to pray. You can put 10 fires out. Well, see, there's people out there, and really, in that prayer meeting, when I got questioning people about prayer, what's been done, what God had done, they hadn't been getting anything done. They hadn't even had one fire put out. They're just down there, you know, struggling, doing this struggle prayer stuff. They're struggling in prayer, you know. Oh, yes, it's just... Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't get answers. After a while, you ain't struggling. I want to know why you won't even go to the prayer meeting. You got your prayers ain't ever getting answered. After a while, you don't want to go no more. It's like, man. So, praying in the Spirit helps you. And I'm just going to read a scripture here from we had read before in Romans the 8th chapter. And it says in Romans the 8th chapter... And we'll start reading at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us. Here we go. The Spirit what? Helps us. The Spirit helps us. In other words, the Spirit's your helper. He's going to help you. He's not going to do it for you. He's going to help you. He's going to help you do it. You know, the Spirit of God can teach you things. There's one thing, as I found out, there's things the Spirit of God used to help me in. He doesn't anymore. I know how to do it. He's helped me so much, He's taught me how to do it. Now I can do it. See, we're supposed to grow up spiritually where we can take over things. There's things, now there's areas of the Spirit where I have to rely on the Spirit to help me because there's areas I don't know. I'm learning in. But you can develop over in areas where you're operating. You can go over in the areas. It's just like many times where the Spirit has come along to me. We're praying in areas about certain things. And the Lord asked me, the Spirit will say, what do you want to do about it? In other words, He knows that I've had wisdom in that area of working. And He can let me choose the way I'd like to have it happen or what I want to do. He'll do that for you. You know, it's just like somebody, you know, a child. I mean, as a child grows, they ought to mature enough to one day that you can let them do something on their own. Except in our society today, they get to be, you know, 40 years old and still can't do nothing on their own. Still help mom and dad, still trying to help them out. But the Holy Spirit will mature you where there's things you can handle. You can do. But when you started off, you couldn't. You needed His help. Well, we always need His help because we're going to go into areas as we mature. We'll step into areas we've never stepped in before. But He'll train us in areas where you'll become competent spiritually at doing it. Where you can deal with it. You can do it. And so He says, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. And He says, for we do not know what to pray. We should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now I want you to look at that part of that because He says, notice the phrase says, He helps our weaknesses. What is the weakness? What's the weakness? He said He helps this weakness. What is the weakness? He's not talking about sickness and disease. He said it helps us in a weakness. In an area of weakness, He tells us what that weakness is. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. He didn't say we didn't know we should pray or we didn't know from the standpoint to pray or how to pray. But we don't know to the extent how we ought to do it. How do I deal with this thing in prayer? We may know something needs to be dealt with, something needs to be fixed, but we may not know how or what to do. That's what He's telling us. It's the weakness that we have. We're not like God. We don't know everything. As I said before, really when you look at what's going on behind the scenes of why a problem exists, if you don't know what's behind the problem, you may be praying in a wrong direction about that problem. And so when we don't know how to pray as we ought, here's what He's saying, the Spirit makes Himself makes intercession for us. In other words, the Holy Spirit working through us to intercede. He helps and intercedes for us in this thing that we're praying about. He intercedes. In other words, He steps in through, not beside us, without us. He does it through us. Begins to pray out the plan and will of God. Whatever that problem is that you're dealing with or whatever it is you're praying about. It's just like praying for our nation. You couldn't pray for our nation and only pray just from what you know intellectually. Dear God, we never get nothing done. We couldn't have a chance of turning this nation around. But we can go over and the Holy Spirit will help us intercede because He knows everything about everybody and whatever is going on, every place that the devil's doing, whatever he's doing, He knows. We don't. We are limited. We have a weakness. And our weakness is this. We ain't God. And we have the Holy Spirit who helps us in this intercession and making intercession. So the fact of it is, we know to pray. You know, John told us, in 16:23 said, in that day you'll ask me nothing. Well, so surely I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll do it. You know, we say, God, you know, we want this situation turned around. You know, and some people, you know, sometimes I've heard people pray some, oh God, we need this situation turned around, blah, 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 God turned it around. Well, that's fine in a sense, but that in itself ain't going to get that thing turned around. You know, what's causing it? What's the problem? You know, I remember one time praying in the Spirit. I was back last year. I was praying in the Holy Ghost, just spending time praying in the Spirit. And while I was praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden I had a little vision. And it was just a spiritual vision. It wasn't like I was caught up into heaven or anything like that. Or, you know, but I just saw this. I saw this as I was there praying. And I saw into the Spirit realm. And into the Spirit realm as I prayed, angels would all of a sudden take off and go out in, just take off and go places. Angels were just, and I'm there praying and I'm thinking, well, what is this? You know, and I'm still praying away in tongues and thinking, what is this? And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, when you're praying like this, He said, you're like a military commander. He said, you're sending angels out to carry things out and do them. Now, if you have to think about it, he really said it as if I'm doing it, but really, it's through the God, the Holy Ghost is praying through me, carrying it out, but it is accredited to me. It's accredited to me as if I did it. Well, you know why? Because without the human, He's not allowed to do it. We're the one that gives Him the authority. We're the one that bind and loose. We'll either bind the angels up or loose the angels up. We'll either do it. You get over in the areas of praying in other tongues, you're doing things of authority. You're allowing God to do all kinds of stuff. You're speaking things you don't, but I was telling angels in the Spirit to go do things. I didn't know what I was telling them to do, but they would take off and go do stuff. So, we need to understand how this works. We don't always know how to pray about a situation. And we need to learn to yield to the Holy Ghost so we can carry out the plan and the will of God Hallelujah. So we don't know about all the situation. God knows everything about every situation. He knows what's going on. He knows what spiritual forces are causing problems. He knows what's happening in those areas. Sometimes He may have you. Other times, I don't know why it happens this way. Sometimes I prayed in the Spirit about things and things were just dealt with. Sometimes I prayed in the Spirit and then He told me I had to go do certain thing or go to do something. I've had the Lord tell me while I was praying, all of a sudden, I want you to command this or say that. So He made me say it out of my own voice and speak something. And you think, well, you know, other times you don't have to. I don't know. It's just like the things. I've had times already with the healing anointing. Sometimes the healing anointing will cause a demon to leave. Jesus had that. It says Jesus laid hands on people and the demon left them. Yet at other times you've got to deal directly with the demon. Why? I don't know. The Bible don't really say. Sometimes you have to deal with things up front personally. Sometimes you don't have to. So this is why you can't write a book that just cans stuff and says, this is how you do it. This is why you need the Holy Ghost. And you need to be led by the Spirit of God. Because you can't can it. Hallelujah. We just walk in it the best we understand and the best we know how. Hallelujah. So we walk in it as far as we understand. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let God reveal things to you. Hallelujah. So there's things to pray for. There's things about the future that need to be prayed out. There's things sometimes that come to us. And in, you know, you ever just get a sense that you need to pray? You know, I've had that. It's dealing the area with dealing with demonic forces. Because one of the things the Bible says, Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and rulers of darkness, evil spirits in wicked places in the heavenlies. Sometimes we don't know what to do. I was during when Ronald Reagan's administration. I worked at Reese Candy Company, and I worked in the department. We made the Kit Kat wafers and that stuff with the Kit Kat bars and. And I was back in the oven room checking some things out and that stuff in the other room, doing some inspection on ovens and that stuff. And I was by myself. So I was walking back there. I was a group leader at the time. So, you know, I could sometimes doing things. I wasn't around the other people and that stuff. And I was walking around checking things on the ovens and I was walking back through. And all of a sudden, I just inside of me was an urgency to pray. I'm just in one of these instances. You don't know what to pray about. I don't know what I know I'm supposed to pray. But I got a clue what I'm supposed to pray about, but yet there's this great urgency to pray. So I just started praying in other tongues, and I prayed for a while. I mean, back there, I'm praying in other tongues, and I got over, and this thing got on me, and I'm walking up and down between these two ovens, and I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, just walking back and forth between her, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And after a time, all of a sudden, it's like a spirit. I just got a sense of death. And at first, I thought it was me. I thought I was going to die. I mean, it came so strong on me that literally, I thought I was going to die. I mean, it's just like, and I just got praying over there, and finally I stopped and said, God, what is this? What is going on? Well, He didn't say anything, and I realized, it just came to me, and I just was sort of sensing, I guess, this isn't me. Somebody else is in danger of death. And this is coming on me. So I just kept praying in the Holy Ghost, and I must have prayed for a half an hour in the Holy Ghost. I prayed about a half an hour, and all of a sudden it just lifted. I mean, it just lifted, just, and I just, like, inside, I just knew whatever it was, I got it. So I said, Lord, I said, what on earth is this about? He said, you're going to find out, He said, when you leave work. And when I left work, driving out of work, they came the announcing over the radio on my way home that Ronald Reagan had been shot. And they never did really tell the people till it was almost a year after it happened that he almost died in that attack. Ronald Reagan almost bled to death. I mean, they were lucky they kept him alive. But you know what? The Holy Ghost got a hold of people. I'm sure I wasn't the only one, but He got a hold of people to pray. See, it's outside of what you know. Outside. You know, you can pray for the president, you can pray, but we don't know everything that goes on. We don't know everything that's happening. And so, getting over there and praying about those things. We can get over into areas and pray about things where the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit could not have done that without me. And He can't do it without you. He helps us. As Kenneth Hagin said, there's absolutely no place in Scripture that tells the believer that the Holy Spirit does anything without us. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything. He does it through people. He always does. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we'll do some more teaching on this subject. We're going to talk about it a little bit more on this subject here. But so it's really important as we look into these things is we're hooking up with the Holy Ghost. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the purpose is so God can carry out His plans and His purpose. God, just think about it. God filled each one of us here with the Holy Ghost to be so you and I can carry out His perfect plan and will. He did that. I mean, think about all the Christians there are in the world. Think about all the population of people who are born again. There's a huge amount. But there's not a huge amount that are filled with the Holy Ghost. We can't afford to go sit down. Nations are not going to be changed by people who are out here just, you know, saved, just nice. We need the Holy Ghost. We need God being able to do His perfect will. Things have gotten into the shape that they are is because the church hasn't been walking in the light of the Holy Ghost that's in them. Hallelujah. But that's changing. Glory to God. We're not going to sit back and not do anything. Praise God. We're going to walk in the light that we have. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight for again the opportunity to look in your word. We thank you, Father God. I thank you so much. Hallelujah, for the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Father, I want to thank you, hallelujah, for the great Holy Spirit who indwells our spirits, guiding us and leading us into the truth. Father God, I thank you that, Father, the great power of God, the strength and might of God is living and indwelling us on the inside. Father God, the word's true. Hallelujah, we are the victors. We overcome, hallelujah, in every circumstance. That's your plan. That's your purpose in life. We're the people that are not going to be defeated. Father God, the devil's defeated. Jesus Christ defeated him, and we're going to enforce that defeat. We're not going to let him rule and reign over us and over our nation. Lord God, we're standing against it in the name of Jesus. The devil is already in a whole lot of trouble, and he knows it. Hallelujah. And Father, I want to thank you that things have turned in this nation. Hallelujah. Things have made a turn, and Father God, they're going to turn even more. Jesus Christ is going to be glorified more and more, magnified more and more. And Lord God, I thank you that America is going to be used again to carry this wonderful gospel into the world. Hallelujah. Father God, you're going to finance it through the church of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.